So if you were to strip the drywall out of a modern skyscraper, you'd probably expect to see miles of thick copper wire.
Right, that's what most people think of.
Yeah, but increasingly you wouldn't actually see that. You'd see these massive, rigid tracks of aluminum instead. Which is wild because why are engineers ditching the gold standard of electricity for a metal that's, technically worse at the job?
It does seem completely counterintuitive at first glance.
Exactly. So welcome to today's deep dive, where we're looking at a technical guide on aluminum busbars, specifically alloy 6101. Our mission today is to reveal the hidden, high-stakes material trade-offs that secretly shape the power grids and buildings around you. Okay, let's unpack this. A busbar is essentially this rigid, flat, rectangular metal conductor.
Yeah, it completely replaces those messy, flexible cables we're used to seeing.
Right, so systems can safely move massive amounts of electrical current.
And the reason this matters to you is that the invisible infrastructure powering your daily life relies entirely on choosing the exact right metal for those heavy-duty conductors. I mean, it's about moving immense power safely, efficiently, and at scale.
Yeah, and to understand how we move that much power, we really have to compare aluminum to the industry's baseline heavyweight, which is copper. Here's where it gets really interesting. If copper is the absolute gold standard for conductivity, like how much worse is aluminum?
Well, copper, specifically the C110 or ETP grade, is the benchmark here. It sits at roughly 100% on the conductivity scale. But aluminum 6101, it only hits about 55 to 60% of copper's efficiency.
Wow, so just over half. It's like building a highway, right? If you switch from copper to aluminum, you suddenly have to build a road that is 1.5 to 1.6 times wider just to handle the exact same amount of electrical traffic.
Which engineers actually call ampacity, by the way?
Ampacity, right. So I don't get it. If you have to build a much wider bus bar just to carry the same current, you're losing all this valuable space. There has to be a massive physical or, I don't know, financial incentive to make that headache worth it.
Oh, there definitely is. What's fascinating here is the sheer drop in density and price. Yes, the aluminum piece has to be physically larger, but aluminum's density is just 2.7 grams per cubic centimeter.
Okay, and what's copper?
Copper is nearly 9.
Oh, wow, that's a huge difference.
It really is. So even though that aluminum bar is much thicker, it ends up weighing roughly a third as much as the copper equivalent.
A third of the weight. I mean, that is a huge deal if you're hanging these overhead enclosures or, designing for earthquake-prone areas.
Exactly. And then you have to look at the economics. If we pull the market data from May 2025, primary aluminum was trading around $2,449 per metric ton.
Okay, and copper?
Copper was way up at roughly $9,533 per metric ton.
That is almost four times as much.
Yeah. So for long industrial busway runs, switching to aluminum just becomes a massive budget and weight lifesaver.
Okay, so aluminum is way cheaper and drastically lighter. But there has to be a catch when it comes to the actual physics, right? Like, it can't just be a perfect swap.
No, it definitely isn't. Aluminum demands some pretty strict engineering workarounds. For one, it expands and contracts significantly more under heat than copper does.
Wait, how much more?
Well, it has a thermal expansion coefficient of 23 compared to copper's 16 or 17. And worse, when you expose bare aluminum to air, it forms a highly resistive oxide layer in literally minutes.
Wait, hold on. If it expands that much and instantly forms this electrically resistant shield, doesn't that make it incredibly dangerous? Like, if you're bolting these joints together to run high voltage power, isn't that just a recipe for catastrophic overheating?
It sounds like it, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, engineering is fundamentally about managing known risks. You can't just bolt aluminum together like you would with copper. You really have to plan for its chemistry.
Right, so how do they fix the oxide problem?
To stop that oxide layer from ruining the connection, they plate the contact surfaces with tin or silver. Or they apply these specific antioxidant compounds.
Okay, that makes sense. And what about the thermal expansion, like the heat issue?
To manage that, engineers use Belleville washers.
Belleville washers? How do those work?
They're essentially these spring-loaded washers. As the aluminum heats up and expands, or cools down and contracts, the Belleville washer physically flexes.
Oh, so it absorbs the movement.
Exactly. It flexes to maintain a constant, tight clamping force on the joint, no matter the temperature.
That is incredibly clever.
It is. And there's one more major rule. If an aluminum bar ever touches a copper terminal, you absolutely have to use bimetallic transition plates.
Ah, because of galvanic corrosion, right? Since aluminum and copper have different electrical potentials.
You got it.
Yeah, touching them together creates this tiny battery effect. that literally eats away the metal over time. So you need that bimetallic plate to separate them.
Spot on. It totally prevents the joint from just dissolving itself.
Man, that's wild. So what does this all mean? I feel like it really changes how you look at the buildings around you. You know, you're not just sitting in a static structure. You're sitting inside this constant, highly engineered balancing act between space, weight, and budget.
I completely agree. And this raises an important question. As global electrification accelerates, if copper supplies become tighter and, you know, even more expensive over time.
Yeah, which seems pretty likely.
Right. How might the physical architecture of our future devices and buildings have to visibly expand just to make room for these larger, lighter aluminum power pathways?
It's crazy to think about. That sleek, hidden electrical footprint behind your drywall might have to get a whole lot bulkier in the future. Definitely something to think about the next time you flip a light switch.